Once again, good morning and welcome to Worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the very first time, we're pleased that you're here with us this morning. Our wish is that you will continue to come and that you'll find a home here with us. Those who are here week in and week out will be looking for folks we don't know, and we will extend a hand of welcome and express our wish that you'll become a part of our family of faith here. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you find somebody you don't know, which if you're new should be pretty easy. And you introduce yourselves to us. One way to become a part of our extended family of faith here is to get involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. If you look at your bulletin insert, you'll find lots of opportunities. I'm gonna lift up a few. Our youth small groups start back tonight. That's January 8th, 5 to 7 p.m. All 7th through 12th graders are welcome. There will be dinner. Please bring $5 for dinner. There'll be games, great conversations. And if you haven't been before, come up to the third floor, to the very central section where the youth gather, and you will be welcomed there, and you can get started. Also, our preschool part-time program is holding their registration for 2017-2018. Their hours are from 9 to 2:30. There is not currently a waiting list for that particular program. So if you're interested, call Lynn McClary, and church members will have priority from January 3rd to the 17th, if you happen to be a church member and are interested. Our Brood Theology Gathering has returned for 2017. If you're a 20-something or a 30-something and are interested, they will be meeting on Wednesday, January 11th at Jackalope Brewery at 6 p.m., and that has been a great gathering place for conversation and conviviality over the past few months. We hope you'll try it out and join them. Also, our college students will resume meeting for lunch next Sunday on the 15th. Also on the 15th from 5 to 7 p.m. in the evening in McWhorter Hall, we will be hosting a conversation in collaboration with McKendree United Methodist and Providence United Methodist called Talking About Race in Your Community with the Reverend Dr. F. Willis Johnson. I hope you will attend that. We already have a number of people who I know are planning to attend. Dr. Johnson is a well-respected speaker, writer, and United Methodist pastor. Also, we just finished a wonderful discussion about healthcare during the Sunday School Hour today. That same panel will be here talking about those same issues on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. following our dinner. We'll have a little more time to do that then, but if you are interested in making healthcare available to each and every person, please know that Wednesday evening we'll have that panel back again. Also, a correction, the flowers that are mentioned in the bulletin in memory of Max Nance are actually on the counter in Reed Hall. The flowers you see in here today are in memory of Carol Kroll, and they were present for her service yesterday. Where you go looking for wisdom? Go to books, the library, universities, the internet, church? Well, we have a story today about where some folks who were supposed to be really smart went looking for wisdom. Stick around, we'll talk about that.
What star is this with me so bright, more lovely than the moon?
Thank you. light breaks into the darkness. As the Magi once did, we seek today the light of Christ.
We follow the path illuminated by Christ.
The light of Christ is the revelation of God's presence in the world.
We celebrate the revelation of grace that shines into our darkness.
We come today to worship, aware of the loving light of Christ's words, life, and spirit, that they reveal the very presence of God's grace surrounding us in every moment of life. Yet in the midst of the light of Christ surrounding us, we turn away, straying into the darkness which gains our attention and shapes our choices. In acknowledging this and confessing it to God, we regain a keener awareness of the light of God's grace. Let us pray together. Christ, revelation of God on earth, this epiphany we confess that we do not always see you in the world. We turn away from the path you illuminate and instead make our own mess. Guided by our desires, we stumble down dark ways, filled with fear for the future, uncertain about our next steps. Let us learn to recognize your presence in the world. Let us remember that wisdom does not come from knowing what lies ahead, but from following the light as we walk with you. May the forgiving love of God surround us, so that the loving light of Christ may illuminate the way for us to share that light with others, in our words, our deeds, our relationships, in God's hurting world. Amen.
Thank you.
As we prepare for the reading of the gospel, let us pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who'd care to join us, you're welcome. If you'd like to bring a parent, grandparent, or friend, that's perfectly all right. Yeah, come on down and join us. One of the things that we think about during this season is giving gifts. But I don't know if you happen to know why we give gifts at Christmas. Some people say it comes from the St. Nicholas story when he gave gifts to some families that he knew, but it goes back further than that. We give gifts because of the story you just heard from the Bible, because the Magi, or in this translation, the wise men they're called, brought gifts to the baby Jesus. They brought gifts that were kind of weird for a baby, actually. Gold, which would sparkle and be attractive. They brought frankincense, which is incense. It's something you burn and it smells good and it is used in worship sometime. And they brought myrrh, which is kind of an oil or an ointment, and it smells really loud, and it can be used for healing, and it was often used, believe it or not, on dead bodies. Ugh. But I want to tell you about a present I got. But it was a present I received before Christmas, actually. I mentioned before that I was a sickly little boy. I was sick a lot of the time. And I was going through one of those periods of time when I was really feeling bad and couldn't seem to get over whatever it was I had. And before that, I had seen in a store a monkey, a stuffed monkey. Actually, it was a chimpanzee. And he was a television star. His name was J. Fred Muggs, and he starred on the Today Show with a man named Dave Garraway. Ask your grandparents about it. They'll remember him. Well, I wanted this monkey. I wanted this chimpanzee, this stuffed monkey. But it was kind of expensive, and my parents said no, and I'd have to wait, even if I got it at all. So I was very sick. I was very sad, and one day, my dad said to my mom, without me knowing it, "I think I'll just get him that monkey." She said, "It's not Christmas yet." I said, "That's okay. He feels so bad and he's so sad. I just think I'm going to get him that monkey." Well, he went and he got the monkey. The monkey was covered with a kind of furry material, and it had plastic hands and a plastic face and a plastic red hat. And so my dad came home from work. He was a mechanic. He came home from work. I was sitting in our living room. He brought the red hat in to give me. And I knew immediately whose it was and where it had come from. So I took it and I said, "Thanks, Dad. At least I got his hat." I was feeling pretty pitiful, you know? And my dad said, "Why don't you go out and look in the hall?" So I went out and looked in the hall, and there was J. Fred Muggs. I was so excited. I was so happy. And you know, he became my constant companion. I took him with me everywhere I went. People would try to say, "Would you give him to me?" Oh, no. He was my buddy. He was my friend. The only time I almost gave him up was during a time I had to spend in the hospital, and one of the nurses tried to trade one of the newborn babies for my stuffed monkey. Of course, she couldn't do that. That would be illegal. But she thought I wouldn't agree, and I didn't at first. But then the next day, I said, "Well, if it gets me a little brother or sister..." But of course, we didn't. I still have that monkey. He had some tears in him that my mother had to repair, and she had to work on him to keep him going because I loved him so much that he was pretty much worn out. But I still have J. Fred Muggs at home. It's the kind of gift that continues to last, not just because it was any old gift. It was a gift of love. It was a gift of love from my mom and dad. And today, we're going to be remembering God's gift of love to us in Jesus. But we're also going to be remembering that we give gifts to each other out of love because three foreigners came to see this child. And they may not have known the exact right gifts to bring him, but they brought them and they offered them as an act of love to him. So any gift we give, any gift we receive as an act of love is all the more special. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us the gift of people who love us. Thank you especially this day for giving us the gift of your love in Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to love one another. And may all the gifts we give be gifts of love, and all the gifts we receive be gifts of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming down. Well, I mentioned before that in the Gospel of Luke, the story of Jesus' birth is told looking over Mary's shoulder, right? The angel Gabriel comes to her. It's all about what's happening to Mary at the time, and Joseph plays a fairly insignificant role. There are shepherds in that story, but in Matthew's gospel, the story is told looking over the shoulder of Joseph. There are no angels. Gabriel doesn't come to talk to Mary. Instead, Joseph has dreams that either reassure him to marry Mary or to warn him about things. While there are no shepherds in Matthew's version, there are these strange characters that we hear about today. They're magi. The word is magoi. It's the same word from which we get magician, okay? At the end of the service, we'll be singing a hymn called We Three Kings, and I love that hymn. But it's all wrong. The Bible says nothing about there being three of them. There are three gifts, but it does not number the magoi. It doesn't say how many magi come. Okay? Nowhere does it say that they are kings. They are foreigners. That's the most important thing. They're Gentiles. They do not belong to the religion of Jesus. They are scholars. Priests. We know they're astrologers because they study the stars and they follow one of them throughout the story, first to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem. They're coming because somehow the Hebrew prophecies have fallen into their hands and they have read about this king of the Jews who is going to be born. They don't know much about him, they don't know where to find him. But they follow a star, and they go to the place that seems most logical. If you're looking for a new king of the Jews, why would you not go to the sitting king of the Jews? Which is exactly what they do. They go visit Herod. Now, Herod is king of the Jews not because the Jewish people want him to be. He is king of the Jews because the emperor wanted him to be, and he was in the emperor's favor. In fact, most of the Jewish population opposed Herod as king of the Jews. Many of them didn't even believe he was Jewish. His background was Idumean. But he found favor with the emperor. He was named king of the Jews. And so, reasonably, when they come looking for wisdom and power, where do they go? They go to the sitting king of the Jews. Big mistake. Because you see, Herod does not have a newborn child who will succeed him. And so when he hears about this new king of the Jews, he's terrified, and all Jerusalem with him, it says. Why? Because that's the power base. Those are the people who have the power, who live in the favor of the emperor, who get their power in part from Herod and their association with him. So he goes seeking wisdom to his scholars and says, where do the prophets say this king of the Jews is going to be born? Well, they're pretty clear about this. In Bethlehem of Judea. So the information is carried back to the Magi in Bethlehem of Judea. It's just down the road a piece, okay? And Herod says, when you find this king of the Jews, you come and tell me, because I want to come and pay him homage too. He's not the first politician to lie, I'm sure. He certainly hasn't been the last. But it's a bald-faced lie that he tells. He has no desire to worship or honor this child. We understand as we read the rest of the story, his desire is to do away with the child. Herod is so insecure as a leader that he is threatened by a child, by a toddler. He's frightened of a toddler. Now, some of you who have toddlers at home will understand this, right? But that's not why he's frightened of this toddler. He's frightened because this toddler is going to grow up, he thinks, and supplant him. What he doesn't realize is that the power he holds is not real power. The power he holds is given to him by another person who holds no real power, the emperor. The real power we discover in this story is in Bethlehem, in a house, and is somewhere between birth and 2 years old. And so the Magi go to Bethlehem seeking the child, and they go to the house where the family lives. In Luke, of course, the family lives in Nazareth. There is a census. They come to Bethlehem for a period of time and then go back. In Matthew, they live in Bethlehem. They don't come to Nazareth until they go away to Egypt and then come back. Very different stories. So they go to this house in Bethlehem, and they find Joseph and Mary and the child, who is a toddler, most likely. And they open their treasure chests, and they offer him gifts. Gold? What happened to the gold? Well, my guess is the gold was used when they became political refugees and had to leave the country and go to Egypt to pay for their trip over, to pay for their time there, and to pay for their trip back when Herod eventually dies. Frankincense, the incense that was burned then, and the incense that is burned even today in some Christian traditions, symbolizes our prayers rising. The Psalms say our prayers rise like incense. The smoke from the incense was a way of visualizing how our prayers rise to God. Myrrh could have been a healing ointment, but was certainly used to anoint the dead, an intimation of what ultimately will happen to this child, what ultimately will happen to each of us. Sadly enough, what ultimately will happen to a number of children. Because you see, the Magi, when they open their treasure chest for the child, note, they don't open their treasure chest for Herod. They're not trying to curry favor with the political power center of their time. They don't open their treasure chest until they find this child. But they are warned in a dream that Herod's intentions are not good, and they are not to go back to him, but they are to return home by another route, and so they do. And Joseph and Mary and Jesus are warned. Joseph has a dream that Herod's intentions are not good for this child, and so they escape as refugees into Egypt and remain there until Herod has died. Herod is so frightened of this child that he orders the death of all children 2 years old and under. If you can imagine, someone who supposedly is in one of the most powerful positions in the world being that insecure and afraid of a child. The day we commemorate the deaths of those children is the feast day of Holy Innocents, December 28th. I mentioned before our daughter Sarah, our older daughter, was born on December 28th. On that day, those Holy Innocents took on a face for me. And ever since then, I have seen them in the face of every single child. All those children who come up here for children's time, every baby we baptize, every child, I see those Holy Innocents. And it reminds me that ultimately the wise men. We don't know that they were all men, do we? Magoi is just plural. It could have been men and women. But the Magi didn't find the wisdom and power they were looking for in Jerusalem, in the courts of Herod. They found the wisdom and the power they were looking for in a child. I wonder what it would be like if we began to truly value our children, to find in them wisdom and power and value that we will never find in those who hold power over us. Oh, we say we value our children. Look what we pay the people who take care of our money, and look what we pay the people who take care of our children, and that will tell you exactly how we value our children. But what if we did? What if we, like the Magi, sought our wisdom in the imagination and the truth of children? Got one more story for you. This is a Sarah story. I've asked her permission to tell it, and she's given that. When she and Lizzie were very young, Lizzie was just a baby, and Sarah was probably 3 or 4 years old. Margaret's mother became very ill, and so Margaret had to go to Columbia to stay with her. She ultimately went into a nursing home. And so while I was keeping the girls in the evening, our routine would be I would read to them, I'd put them to bed. And one of the things we read was a book that had come to us as a gift from one of our neighbors. It was a Bible story book, and in that Bible story book were some absolutely gorgeous illustrations. I think they were done in Czechoslovakia. I don't remember exactly. One of those illustrations had an image of Jesus who was looking out in a kind of ghostly visage. His face was visible, large, and you see his disciples, and it looks like he's breathing on them. Of course, Jesus did breathe on his disciples and say, "My peace I give to you." In giving his spirit to them, he breathed on them. And the girls, especially Sarah, seemed to be fascinated by this image. So one night, I don't know what possessed me, but one night I stopped reading and I asked Sarah, "What do you think God looks like? You think God looks like a man or a woman or a rock or the sky or what?" And she stopped for just a beat, just a moment, and then she said, "Daddy," like I was the dumbest guy in the world, like it was obvious. "God's a..." Kind of surprised me. Because, you know, in both the Jewish and the Christian tradition, God is a... The Hebrew word ruach for spirit also means wind, also means breath. The Greek word pneuma also means spirit, wind, and breath. Now, she didn't know Greek or Hebrew. How did she figure this out? So I asked, "What makes you think that?" She said, "Well, look," and she turned to that illustration of Jesus breathing on his disciples. She said, "See, Daddy, God's a..." How can you argue with that, right? Well, it wasn't long after that. I told Margaret these stories, and it wasn't long after that that we found ourselves in Columbia staying in Nanny's house, and Nanny was in the nursing home and very close to death. Margaret and I were trading out times with her. Margaret had stayed with her really throughout that whole week before, and so I just happened to be with her in the early morning hours when she died. So I came home before the girls awoke from their sleep, talked to Margaret about how we were going to talk to them about their grandmother dying. And Margaret, being far wiser than I am about these things, took it in hand, and she told the girls that because Nanny had died, they would be able to see her body at the funeral home, but that her had gone to be with God. Made perfect sense to them. They understood. And so they did. We went through the visitation and the funeral, and we stayed there a few more days. One of my jobs was to help the girls with their baths, so I was there next to the tub. They were both in the tub playing and getting bathed, and Margaret was standing in the doorway. And in the midst of the conversation, which was not about Nanny or her dying, Sarah simply piped up and said, "Well, Daddy was with Nanny when she died, right?" We said, "Yes, Daddy was with Nanny when she died." And then she said, and she gave him her last whew. And she had. I was literally leaning over her when she breathed her last breath, although I had not shared that with Sarah. In reading her the stories of Scripture and giving her those illustrations of those who had imagined those stories visually, somehow we had given her a language with which to talk about her grandmother's death, but also with which to talk about that that resides in each of us, that Spirit of God that is in each of us. Sarah now teaches preschoolers, and so she gets to hear that wisdom all the time. And we all know not everything that young children say is fraught with wisdom. But occasionally, there is a glimmer of God's presence that comes through them, which I think is the exact same glimmer that those magi saw in the child Jesus in Bethlehem that day. And that if we truly put more of our energy into listening to children, to hearing their needs, to responding to those needs, and to hearing the wisdom they have to share, I believe we would be a better society. I believe we would be a better people. I believe we would be completely different than we are now. That a lot of the division we experience would disappear. That we would find healing in children, a healing that we desperately want but seem unable to grasp. When the Magi came looking for power and wisdom, they first went to the logical place, the King of the Jews. But then they were taken following the star to find real power and real wisdom in a child who is truly King of not only the Jews, but of all people. Thanks be to God. We affirm our faith in many ways, and today we're going to be using words from Scripture. I invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 889 in your hymnal, and join me as we affirm our faith. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance.
To welcome all of you who are gathered to worship here with us today. And if you're a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We're glad that you're here. We hope you'll join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall just after the service through these doors here to your right and to my left. And to answer any questions you may have, our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and to speak with you in that time. You will find them in Reed Hall and also in the narthex just out towards the street. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. One side of the card, you may record any comments that you have for church staff or for the lay leadership. If you desire a call from staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card as well as your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or are confidential. And you can place the card in the offering plates, which will be passed by you in just a few moments. Please now take a moment to record your attendance if you have not already done so. You'll find the attendance pads next to the center aisle. You'll record your attendance, pass it on down, and then pass it back. And as it comes back towards the center aisle, look there and see who's worshiping with you on the pew, and so you'll have time to greet them immediately following the service. Today we want to offer our sympathy to the family of Virginia Tipton Craig, who died December 25. Graveside services were held on December 30 at Woodlawn Memorial Park. Also, Colonel Chester M. Wagoner Sr., Mike, died December 30th. Services were held at Forest Lawn Funeral Home in Goodlettsville on Wednesday. And among his survivors is his wife, Dixie Wagoner. John Nance and his family are mourning the death of his mother, Tori Baxter Nance, who died on Thursday, January 25th. Her visitation will be Wednesday, January 25. She died on January 5th. Her visitation will be January 25, 10 to 11 a.m., the service at 11 a.m. in Howell Chapel of Westminster Presbyterian Church. So now let us prepare our hearts and our minds as we speak to God through prayer. Let us pray. The Lord be with you. Loving God in Christ, you embrace people of every nation, and you make them members of the same bodies, sharers of the promise of the gospel. We pray for the body of the Church of God, that through its faithful witness, the wisdom of God and its rich variety be known in heaven and in earth. Loving God, you judge the people with righteousness and the poor with justice. We pray that nations, rulers, and authorities forsake violence and be guided by the light of truth, so that righteousness may flourish and justice abounds in every land. And as the Magi from afar came to visit the Holy Family and found a place of rest and worship, we pray that Nashville, Tennessee, be a community of hospitality for all who live here. And we pray that West End United Methodist Church be a place that welcomes the stranger and shelters the refugee. In your providence, loving God, the land yields prosperity for the people. And so we pray for our planet Earth, that we may dwell peacefully with nature and be good stewards of its resources, share its abundance to help all of creation to flourish. We offer our prayers, loving God, for all those who suffer cruelty in the form of poverty, and all who will endeavor to transform systems of economic justice. We pray for those whose bodies are enfeebled by disease or whose spirits are debilitated by illness. May they be restored to wholeness of life. And gracious God, because you have called us your children, we are bold to ask for what we need and confident in your goodness as we pray the prayer your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Magi brought gifts to Christ at his birth and offered their lives in worship. So now, with thankful hearts, let us offer ourselves and our gifts to God.
Thank you.
forth to seek power and wisdom among the least of these, among the children, knowing that God, who is the source of all power, wisdom, and love, Jesus Christ, who was and is God's power, wisdom, and love among us, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to discover and reflect God's power, wisdom, and love to the world, will be with you now and always. Go in peace.